Hello, rap fans. It's Richard Herring here. Thank you for listening to my podcasts, powered by Acast Plus. Do tell your friends if you think they might enjoy them too. And do come and see me on tour in my show, Can I Have My Ball Back? Go to richardherring.com/ballback/tour for all tour dates, going to lots of places in the UK. Some extra gigs added in London at the Leicester Square Theatre and the Bloomsbury Theatre. The Leicester Square Theatre first gig is very nearly sold out, so do rush along to those shows, London, if you want to come along. Some of the shows selling fantastically well, some of them selling pretty badly. Hello, Swindon. Do you know I'm coming to your town? Please buy some tickets. And I do have to give a trigger warning. I've done the show only a few times and 6 men have passed out. After the bit where I explain what happens to you during an operation for testicular cancer. So, are you man enough to handle my balls? Only come if you are, have lots of balls and are not scared of balls. There is some mild testicle trauma involved in this story of testicular cancer. It's mainly funny, though, and if you don't come, that means you're scared to come, and I'm going to judge you, so... It's like going on a fairground ride, so do come along. It's going to be very exciting to see if you make it through. I'll give you a badge if you make it through unscathed. Anyway, come and see the tour, richardherring.com for all that news. Some great Rahalastapas coming up, I have to tell you, in the next few weeks. The tour was a lot of fun. Thanks very much to everyone who came. Sit back, relax, and enjoy my stupid fucking podcast.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Leicester Square Theatre. A week has passed, but please welcome a man who's still as ill as he was last week. It's Richard Herring! Hello, my fan friends. Welcome to another edition of Richard Herring's Leicester Square Theatre podcast. I was talking to Wheatus, the band Wheatus. Remember the band Wheatus? No, not Inch High Private, not Wheatus. How young are you people? I'm just a teenage dirtbag. No, that's who that is. They call it Rahalastapa. It's quite good watching Top of the Pops 1990s for if you have to come up with lots of cool things that were once cool but aren't cool anymore. That's my advice to you. And also, very soon, you'll be able to see Richard Herring presenting. I'm surprised they haven't got to already, given how many they're not allowed to show. They better hurry up as well, because, yeah. Anyway, the good news... if you've been following the podcast over the last few weeks, you'll know that Bridge in Great Yarmouth had a public vote as to what it would be named. One of the potential names was Herring Bridge. So you were allowed to just vote online for it. So I encouraged my Twitter followers to vote online for it. The results are in. For whether the bridge in Great Yarmouth will be named after me. In fifth place, 572 votes. Come on, pathetic. Kingsbridge, bad luck, Prince Charles, which is still your name. Fourth place, Yare Bridge. It's over the river Yare. 814 people thought that was worth voting for. Fucking idiots. Britannia Bridge. That was the racist voted for that. 857 votes. All very close. Second place, Queen's Gate, with 869 votes. And the winner with 2,710 votes, Herring, which I'm disappointed with. I've got 250,000 Twitter followers. It should be better than that. Herring Bridge, it's named Herring Bridge. The news in Great Yarmouth broke that there was a possibility. There may have been some shenanigans going on, but, you know, it's a democratic vote. Doesn't matter, there's outside interference. You lost, get over it. I know the Russians were trying to get Bridge. Is that why he got so many votes? Bridge spokesman. Afraid to say their name, or spokesperson, I should say, I don't know who said. We thank Mr. Herring and his followers for raising the profile of Great Yarmouth and its new bridge, and are glad they agree with our choice. Herring Bridge was the strongest name on the shortlist in terms of its historical relevance to the town, and was the local favourite through votes placed in person across the borough as well as online. Yeah, Jimmy Hill also voted for it, mate. Yes. Remember Jimmy Hill? So they're claiming it's nothing to do with me, but it's 2,000 more votes for Herring. I mean, no one voted. Oh, yeah, Herring. The people on the... It broke, and then someone from Radio Norwich was a fan, said it's a triumph for Richard Herring. And then the Great Yarmouth paper suggests there was printed report suggesting I might have skewed the results. I felt quite bad about it, to be fair. The bridge cost £21 million. Have you ever had a £21 million bridge named after you? No. I don't know, David. We'll see if we're going to... Even David's back. I think if I go to Great Yarmouth, I'm going to read you some comments from the people of Great Yarmouth about how they feel about this. We'll see if I might get thrown in the river. This is the same bridge that was nearly blown up by a Nazi bomb last week as well, a couple of weeks ago. David White said, his comment was, is that the guy who's struggling these days to stay relevant? Never relevant, mate, never relevant. Bad luck. Steve Parsons said, who is he? I've never heard of him. Sounds like he's full of his own self-importance. Yeah, you haven't got a bridge named after you, have you, Steve Fuss? Wayne Tovey, when it said its name, you know, it was questioning whether it was named after me. Doubtful, as no one has ever heard of him. Well, you're wrong, 2,500 people voted for him, mate. Karen Hipsey Leach says, it's not named after him. It's named after the herring boats and women that used to prepare herring for smoking. I mean, it's definitely not named after them, is it? It's named after the herrings. The fish. It's not named after any. It's not Herring Boat Bridge, and it's not women who used to prepare herring for smoking bridge. It's named after either the fish or me. So you're an idiot. Have you got a £21 million bridge named after you? No, you haven't, Karen Hipsey Leach. There was a lot. I have not read all of them. They were all quite negative. Heather Tower said, a nobody, basically. Nobody with a fucking bridge named after him for the rest of eternity. June Bayfield, what a dreadful name. I'm 83 years old and I've never heard of the man. I bet he doesn't even come from Norfolk. I do not come from Norfolk. I've only been to Great Yarmouth once to get a pizza from Domino's Pizza when all the other shops were closed nearer to where we were staying. And I didn't even go in, my wife went in, and I still have a bridge in Great Yarmouth named after him. I also met the creator of Death in Paradise this week. It's been a very exciting, very exciting week. He thanked me for tweeting about it. I said, sorry, I am partly taking the piss. He said, it's all right, it's not meant to be taken seriously. Didn't offer me a part, though. So there we go. We'll see. Right, let's crack on. My guest this week is probably best known for being the writer of Revenge Prank with DJ Paulie D and Vinny. Have you heard of that? You don't, have you? How old are you? Like 6 months old? What's wrong? That's new. It's the wonderful Catherine Bohart, ladies and gentlemen. Catherine Bohart. Hello.
Hello. Oh my God. I had to be like, I did what?
It's only that recent, it's not that long ago. revenge prank. You're the writer of Revenge Prank with DJ Paulie D and Vinny. That's what you did.
Am I?
That's according to your...
I am. I think I am.
Yeah.
You think am I? I am. I did a job for MTV that was like... write pranks, but like
that would be it. That's what this is the
yeah,
prank.
Yeah, but what was weird about it was like I always assumed, maybe naively, that I guess this is how people feel about comedians on Mock the Week when they're like, "Wait, you write the jokes?" Sorry, but I did kind of assume pranks would sort of play out naturally.
Yeah,
but no,
no,
it's just a lesbian in London going, "I think this American man should do this."
Okay,
yeah,
try and get a bridge named after him.
I completely blanked that out. Isn't that a weird thing that...
It is weird when it's... So, sometimes when people have, you know, been working for 20 or 30 years, I say something and they go, I have no memory of that.
Yeah.
But when someone's been... You're a very new comedian, really, compared...
Yeah, I've been doing it 8 years next month.
Okay.
And like... But I mean, that means really like 4 years paid work. So it's got to be I've been in the last 4 years. I will have been paid for that. At least I didn't do it for free. and yeah, no memory until now, I guess.
Okay, well, I'm going to get it put on... the podcast. I'm going to record it and put it at the end of this podcast so everyone can see your work.
It'll be the first time I...
Hey, look, you were on the podcast quite recently during lockdown, December 2020.
Well, I'm so happy to have another opportunity to be here because I was so sad. I was having a depressing period. It was lockdown. I was spending Christmas alone. My heating had stopped working. My kitchen had flooded.
Yep.
And I'd just been through a breakup of a 5-year relationship.
Yeah.
And I remember sat like covered in blankets talking to you on Zoom, being like, "Are you having a nice life, Richard? Because mine's terrible." And I'm just thrilled to be here with a different tone.
Well, things seem to be going a bit better for you, but it would be hard for them going anywhere. For both of us, I was secretly harbouring testicular cancer. I didn't even know myself at that point. So I was 3 weeks away from, you know...
Whoa. And there diagnosed. I was moaning about my heating.
Yeah.
What an insensitive cow.
It's a very funny, but I watched it. I don't usually go back and watch the podcast again. Yeah. And I went back and watched that one, and it was very funny.
That's nice.
I felt a bit sad for your life, but you know,
Well, as long as you laughed along the way, Richard.
It was very funny.
People were giving
you advice on how to turn your heating on.
They were. It was so many people, men in the mentions being like, "Have you tried?" And I was like, "Yes, I've tried." But yeah, no, life's good. My heating works. My kitchen floor is bone dry. Everything is going great, guys.
And you've just been to Iceland.
I've just been to Iceland with my girlfriend.
With a new partner.
Yes.
So everything's
I didn't
going
want to
well.
Say that. That sounds like such a bad, like, happy ending. And now I've got a new girlfriend, so everything's great. No, things were great before I started dating anyone, too, which was nice. But, yeah, we did go to Iceland. Can I say, I feel very lucky to have gone to Iceland, obviously. I feel very privileged. But also... I would not personally choose to go on a cold holiday or indeed one that required me to be outside, really.
Okay.
And I'd never purposefully, like, adventure, as it were.
Yeah.
I'm just not that kind of lesbian. And, but it was the one, but the sort of, I suppose, backpack wearing one's birthday demanded that I do. Actually, nature, not that bad.
It's that. I was listening to your latest podcast of...
thanks.
Trusty Hogs.
Trusty Hogs.
And it was it sounded very exciting. You saw lots of whales. You saw a dead whale.
We saw the spine of a dead whale, a dead sperm whale. We saw orcas. We saw humpacks. It was amazing. Yeah.
I saw...
I'd only just heard of them all, but my goodness me, they're amazing.
I think the dead ones... We were just near Great Yarmouth recently on the beach with lots of seals. And there's a load of dead seals. I mean, like they don't hide it from.
Well, if
them.
You were feeding them dominoes, then
but there was dead one. There was a dead seal. In fact, there was a bump quite away at the beach. And my daughter said, "Let's go and sit on that rock."
No.
And then when we got close to it, I said, "Let's not sit on that rock."
No.
There's a hole in that rock, and I can see inside. It was a desiccated corpse of a seal. There was another one that had been washed up right. They got right up the beach. I don't know whether the Do you know if seals carry their... Are they like elephants? Do they carry their dead up the beach or do they just get washed up once they're dead?
Why can't you let me have a nice chipper time on your podcast? Oh my God, the whole time you were talking, I was like, Jesus, British holidays are bleak, aren't they?
And I've been to Iceland once.
Yeah.
I went on my own.
Whoa.
And all I did, and your trip sounds amazing. You did lots of incredible things.
I went
to a penis museum, and then I came straight home. And I came straight home again.
Everyone kept telling us to go there, and we were like, do you know why we're... You get that we're... All right. We didn't go there. That's not for us at all. But thrilled that... How was it?
It was too many penises, I would say.
Yeah.
Too many.
Listen... I can only, if there's too many for you, I can only imagine how many it was for me.
There was no human penis in there at the time, but I believe there is now.
What?
I was doing a show called Talking Cock. I was writing a book called Talking Cock. And so I found out at this museum, so I went to visit in the man who ran it. He was trying to get the penis of every mammal native to Iceland. So there was a lot of whale, I saw some whales' penises.
Okay.
They're big.
Yeah,
they're
really I can only big. Imagine. And then what, they would have had the Arctic horse?
There was a lot of cocks.
Yeah.
A lot of different cocks, all different sizes.
I have to say, that feels quite misleading. If I was, like, going to a penis museum...
Yeah.
And it would have to... That would be the way I'd see one. Yeah. I'll be honest. It would have to be sort of a day out of a Sunday.
Yeah.
Then I would expect it to be more human penis focused.
You would like it more human penis?
Well, I didn't say I'd like it, but certainly my expectation would be...
What, just lots of... Men, where would these penises?
It's not like paintings of them. It's like actually like.
Oh
preserved.
No, it's the real thing. They're not paintings.
It's preserved dicks.
Yeah. So there's a man who's. I believe his penis is now in the penis museum. I must go to see it.
What?
He's called Paul Arison. I remember that he was.
Wait, the man who ran it left his dick to his own museum.
No, it was an old man in Iceland who I believe used to have a bit of a Nazi past. We might have to fact check that. He's dead now.
They've lopped his cock off. Could you at least give him his legacy if he's not a Nazi?
And they had to be ready for when he died to get to him as soon as possible to take it off. Because if you just let it, you have to pump it up fairly quickly. Otherwise, it's just like, you know what penises are
you
like.
You keep saying I do, but I don't. I distinctly do. I know, I remember something.
Yeah, you know.
Nothing of the pumping up nature, but...
No, you've got to pump them up to use them, right, in a way. Do you remember, David?
Is that true, sir?
when you're my age, you've got to pump them a bit. Before you pump them and then they're ready to go, right?
Hello?
I think these people have come to a different show than this.
I don't think they were expecting lesbian conversion to be this on the nose.
There's also a vagina museum. We could talk about that, but I haven't been to that. I'm just interested in the cocks of all the different animals of Iceland. That's what I'm interested in.
Yeah.
Anyway, you should
be on the tourism board.
So I went in, spent the night there.
In the cock museum?
No, I spent one night, went to the penis... I thought the bloke from the penis museum might say, come to my house, have some dinner. You're here on your own. He didn't.
First of all, you thought a man who set up a museum about dicks would be like a welcoming present.
Yeah, I did.
And B, you were like, I would go to his house if invited.
You're right. I didn't think
I don't think that's...
I would like my, you know, it's a shame. I feel ashamed that my penis is going to, when I die, is going to die with me. I would like it to be, it's a really good penis.
How and are you measuring like it, that?
Well, with a tape measure.
Yeah.
It's fine. It's a good, it's not everyone who's seen it, and there's a lot of people say it's a good one.
Yes, and women never lie.
Yeah. And I feel pleased
Especially
with it. So
especially about that.
It's a shame. It's a shame for my greatest work to die.
Your greatest work?
Yeah.
Have you taken good care of it?
No, I mean, not great. I mean, I've lost one ball. Well, that's...
When
it comes to genitals, I've lost a third of my genitals. So I would say no.
Still consider it your greatest work. Wow.
It's a lot. It's in my work a lot. Anyway, I didn't have as nice a time as you in Iceland, I think, because I was looking at animal penises.
No, but you have all this lovely penis pride, and that's nice to see.
I do. It's nice to see.
You don't see it often.
Yeah, I didn't think I'd be talking to you about penises for quite this much.
Richard, this whole thing has felt like a fever dream.
It might very well be. Luckily, I am trying to ease myself out of this job by turning over to artificial intelligence.
Oh, great.
So I asked artificial intelligence, ChatGPT, write some questions for comedian Catherine Bohart.
Oh, God.
And it said, sure, here are some questions for Catherine Bohart. You've been open about your sexuality and your relationship with your wife in your comedy. How has your personal life influenced your material, and has it changed over time as your relationship with your wife has evolved?
Wow. Well.
Yeah.
Shocked to hear it. Thrilled.
Yeah.
No, I'm not married. I don't have a wife.
Okay.
They would make the. I mean, it would make the story about Iceland with my girlfriend fascinating if I did. And indeed, I would put my wife and my girlfriend in my material had I a wife and a girlfriend. Yeah. But sadly, no. I haven't. Gosh, the machines are... That's kind of an interesting... That's like a machine that's trying to be inclusive. It's like you and your wife. Is it wife? No.
All right, okay, this is I'll ask question five.
Please.
Your podcast, Naked Beach... explores body positivity and self-confidence. What have you learned from your guest you've interviewed on the show, and how has it impacted your own relationship with your body?
Does the podcast Naked Beach exist?
No, and I googled Naked Beach, and let me tell you, you get some odd results.
I'll bet you do.
I thought, I bet there must
Richard
be a...
Richard just lost an hour being like, my dick's better than that. Yeah, wild. No, and if Naked Beach did indeed exist, I don't think they should have, like, quite a prudish Irish woman hosting it. I neither am natural at the beach nor nudity.
So I'm very sorry about...
It's fascinating.
In addition to comedy, you're also a trained psychotherapist?
That is true.
Ah, oh, good.
How are you feeling, Richard? No,
good.
No, I'm not. Maybe that feels like they got that confused because I was in a mental hospital.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, that's quite a bad... But, you know, if I was relying on this and hadn't done any research at all, that would be quite embarrassing.
I don't know. I think I sound fascinating.
Luckily, I've done loads of research. it's all about Naked Beach.
I think let's pitch it.
I think my job is safe. You do... To some podcast.
Yes.
We've talked Trusty Hogs. Ben Walker, my producer, is very keen for me to mention that you do a podcast called Shared Baggage. Do you think that's what the Naked Beat... Shared baggage?
Shared baggage.
Some baggage to go to... You know, you wouldn't need baggage if you're going to a naked beach.
Well, it would be an interesting indictment of nudists to be like, that's just shared baggage. Thank you to those two people. Shared baggage, yes. So this is a podcast that I made with Larry Dean. Well, I say I made, Ben made, and we were there. And a woman called Charlene, who's the sex expert on Married at First Sight. Mm-hmm. Larry and I are two profoundly unlucky in love / bad in love homosexuals. And we were endeavouring to give dating advice to people who wrote in. And then Charlene would be like... Not like that. So she fixed it, and that was nice. But I will say it's interesting listening back to it because it's a 6-part series, and we had comics on, and they were all amazing. Zoe Lines, Ivo Graham, Sophie Duker did it. But what was that, my darling? No, that's okay. Sorry, I'm so.
All my friends.
All your friends. What's your name? Hi, Maggie. I love you. Maggie's improvising. She's ad-libbing. That's great. And probably you can't hear that at home, but I heard a woman in the audience and was like, a new person to talk to. So easily distracted. Not that I wasn't loving our dick chat.
Ooh, it's okay.
I was like, Maggie? But yeah, they were there. We talked about it. And it's interesting because I hope Larry won't mind me saying that when we made it in the spring, we were both in different relationships, the ones we are in now. And it adds a quality, I think, to the listening experience. That is, it makes me, I'm a bit like, it's hilarious that we were even trying to give dating advice whilst also failing in relationships quite epically. But it's a hoot.
Yes. Well, I mean, you know, any comedian giving dating advice is probably a mistake. Mm-hmm. I mean, don't date comedians. I mean, comedians.
Oh, don't. Absolutely don't. No, don't. We're terrible.
Yeah.
I'd strongly recommend against, actually. Because we are ultimately incredibly self-centred. We work at night.
Yeah.
We think our job's important. It's not. Like And also, I think you kind of have to date another comic if you are a comic, though.
Yeah.
Because nobody else could pretend that, like, you trying to get that bit about cabbage to work is as important as their actual job.
Yeah, that's true. And at least there's some understanding if you are with another comedian. And, you know, it's...
Yeah.
And it's the only people you meet.
Well, also that, yeah. You don't really have much choice because nobody else would be in Yarmouth for a gig, would they?
Yeah, they wouldn't. So, yeah. Okay, so that's on Audible, is it?
Audible,
yes.
Isn't it, Ben?
Is it on Audible, Ben?
Yes, Audible.
Is it any good, Ben? Is it any good?
It's great. I just told you it's so good.
But you're both involved with it. I really should have listened to it, but I was I spent so much time Googling Naked Beach, I didn't get a chance to.
Obviously you should listen to Naked Beach first and then listen to Shared Baggage.
I did listen to Trusty Hogs. Why is it called Trusty Hogs? What the hell?
Oh, because Helen is my very good friend and we're an odd pairing. Like, it doesn't really make that much sense that we are friends. So we were trying to figure out distill what's true of us.
Yeah.
And I'd say I'm fairly reliable, hence the trusty, and she is inherently disgusting, hence the hogs. And it's a nice blend.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I enjoyed it. You've done a lot of episodes. You've got a Patreon going with it, Patreon going with it.
Yeah, we are. It sort of was born of lockdown. In lockdown, I did an online show every Thursday.
Yes.
And Helen co-hosted that with me, and we did 72 of them.
Wow.
And then when we were ending, we were sort of left with this very queer, very loyal audience going, "But now what am I going to do on my Thursdays?" And we're like, "Shit, what are you going to do on your Thursdays?" I don't want to say we were worried for them, but we were like, we should probably make something that they can listen to. And then it's grown from there. But it's been actually really joyful. And it's nice in comedy to have things you can make without anybody's permission. Do you know what I mean?
Like, I do.
You know, yeah.
I very much do.
Just, we make
I play myself a snooker and move stones around. And talk to ventriloquist dummy. It's not nice. It's great. It's insane. Don't go too far.
You know.
Go too far down the rabbit hole. You'll be fine.
Yeah, you're right. Okay. But mostly it's like you do a lot of waiting around hoping somebody will like your pitch or hire you for something or put you on a slot. And it's nice to just, we make it in a shipping container and we didn't know if anyone would listen and they do. And that's nice. But if they didn't, it wouldn't be the end of the world.
So with Gigless, which was the gigs you did in lockdown, you're doing those as gigs now that I've seen as well?
We did for a year. We did live Gigless.
Right.
Now we do live Trusty Hogs instead. Because Gigless felt like less true of the world now that we are allowed to gig.
Yeah.
But it's been nice. And Gigless was great because we split all of the income between all the comics. And it just was like a way to hire people who didn't have work and also to feel like I knew what day of the week it was. So
yes.
It was good.
It was weird, wasn't it, that time? Remember that lockdown?
Does anybody else feel like you imagined it? You're like, I'm like, did that happen? It's so bizarre.
It's strange being on the other side and going, we did 72 of those. You go, but how? And you go, oh, it was fucking ages.
It was ages. And also it's weird being on the other side and being like, we're not as a collective. Like, you know how post those kind of events, it feels like, I studied history, it feels like you get sort of a societal need for catharsis and a processing or policy change that will mean people get to like sort of realize and deal with the fact it happened. We have just gone like, okay, on we go. And I'm like, it feels like we're going to be weird because it happened. No? I think we're going to be weird. And no one's addressing how to not make us... Does anyone want to check on how weird we are?
Yeah, I agree. I think it's really, really needs looking at. We need... We all need therapy over it.
I agree.
And that's not going to happen. We've just got to carry on and... Yeah.
Keep British and carry on?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
oh, well. Just a thought.
It is a shame.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
I was interested. You did Edinburgh in 2021. Mm-hmm. That is an impressive little stat there. So there were not many people did Edinburgh in 2021.
No.
How long did you do Edinburgh for? How was it to do Edinburgh in the sort of middle? Well, in lockdowns were over. Was there one after it?
Again? Yeah, there was another one after it. Yeah. I did it for 8 days. I did a work in progress. It was fascinating because usually work in progress, you'll write jokes and then some of them won't work, but generally you'll have remembered what a joke is. You get the rhythm of a joke. But I hadn't gigged in so long that so much of it was just like bleak diary entry. That like the room was like, and they needed it. They wanted it too. They wanted the gig to work. So there was a real support in the room. But even they couldn't be like, you should say that again. So it was a tense 8 days, I'll be honest. The other thing, though, that was fascinating about that is I saw a side to Scotland I've never really seen at the Fringe, which was obviously the Fringe hadn't been there the year before. There had been nothing on. There wasn't, like, people, you know, were craving entertainment.
Yeah.
So, A, like, the room was full of Scottish people. There wasn't really tourism. So that's not rarely true at the Fringe. You often have, like, people who've come to Edinburgh for it. And those same Scottish people kept saying things at the end of the gig like, thanks for coming to Edinburgh. That's also very abnormal at the Fringe, I want to be clear. Usually like, fuck off. And you're like, okay, sorry. It was astounding.
Yeah.
And also kept being like, thanks for coming to Edinburgh, as if it's not like the epicentre of comedy culture usually. That's the kind of thing you usually get in like Norwich.
Yes.
And they're like, thanks for coming to Norwich. And you're like, yeah, no, that was good of me. But Edinburgh, it's nice.
And you went up 2022 as well, which was a bit more like a normal Fringe and that everything became very expensive again and only rich people could go.
I didn't see a Scottish person for the whole month. Yeah.
Are you going up in 2023?
I'm a glutton for punishment. I'm going up for 8 days.
Okay.
Because I'll be writing a show out for a tour that'll end in Edinburgh the following year, but I can't quite bring myself to miss it.
Yeah.
I've done it 7 years in a row.
Right. Yeah.
I love it. I know we're supposed to hate it. And obviously I think that it's got massive access issues. I think like it is becoming infeasible.
I think it's becoming infeasible.
Thank you. Infeasible for, I don't know. It's expensive. It's debilitatingly expensive, but there's something special about people showing up to a city because they like what we do.
I think from a performance point of view, the papers are saying that I've boycotted the Edinburgh Fringe. I'm just not going.
All right, fair enough.
and I think for other people,
and I have boycotted the penis museum in Reykjavik.
I will never boycott it. But it's I think like from a performer's point of view, what is useful for it, especially if you're newish, is to do exactly what you've done, which is to do 7 years in a row.
Yeah, and then so
and learn as you're going. But I think that's so difficult for anyone to afford. I guess doing 8 days is one way around it. But you still have to find somebody to stay for eight.
Oh, but also cards on the table. The only reason I've been able to do it 7 years in a row, the only reason I'm still able to do it is because I'm a savvy little cookie and my best friend is Scottish. So I stay with her mom.
Okay.
But not everyone could do that. And I definitely couldn't have afforded it if I didn't stay there. She's the only reason I can go.
Yeah. But, you know, it's good that people find their way through it and around it. Mm-hmm. And I think for younger comedians, it's, you know, you find your way to go. But it's like when I read about people my age sleeping in tents because, you know, 3 miles away from the centres because that's all they can afford. You're kind of, that's not right.
I know quite a few people who stayed in vans, camper vans. It's hell. Yeah. And the thing is, it should be such a wonderful place. Like, it is an amazing boot camp for comedy. When else do you get to do it every single day to an audience that meant to see you? Yeah. That's the nicest thing about a tour show or an Edinburgh show is people wander in and they're not like, oh, God, a woman. Like, they did it on purpose. It's so lovely.
Yeah.
But it's a shame that it is so expensive and difficult. Because everyone else makes money before the artist.
Well, apart from the punters. So it's
It's a shame it's so expensive for people to go. And it's a shame that literally everyone gets paid before the person who's on the stage. And it's not to say that they shouldn't be paid for their work too, but it's an interesting...
Anyway, good.
You want me to do? Come and moan about Edinburgh Fringe?
Let me ask you some AI-generated...
Great.
...emergency questions. There's some good ones in here. Let's see. I mean, this isn't a good one. What would what would happen?
But we're having a lovely time.
Let's see what you make of this. What would happen if the world's last packet of crisps fell into an active volcano?
I think.
Yeah.
If it didn't dissolve entirely.
Yeah.
Ideally, it would be like Pompeii-esque. Oh, encapsulation, yeah. And then people forevermore would understand how much we loved crisps.
Yeah,
I was going to say they would overestimate how much we loved crisps, but then I thought, no, I do love crisps that much.
I'm not sure. I think it would burn up. Oh quite, yeah, undoubtedly. Quite badly.
Yeah.
The reason Pompeii and to a great extent Herculaneum survived is because it was very quickly,
it was on the move.
Very quickly coated in ash rather than in in lava.
It's good that there's like a right answer. I would say
whoever's taken the last packet of crisps in the world up an active volcano has a lot to answer for.
I agree.
I mean, that should be in
it's a dick move.
That should be in the crisp museum. Okay, let's see if there's a better one. Sorry.
Are you proud of us for neither of us saying it would burn to a...
I think this is a good question.
Maturity.
This is a good question. I wish I'd come up with this question.
Okay.
And I'm just going to... Because I'm hoping I can just do... I've done books of these things. If I can just get AI to write, like, thousands of questions, there'll be enough in there. What is the most ludicrous thing you've ever done?
Do you hate this job?
I hate this job. I want to replace myself with a computer and a robot that I can then fuck. That's so all I would do, I'll bring the robot in.
Yeah.
The robot will sit down here, will ask the questions. I'll take the robot out the back afterwards and bum it. That's going to be my... That's my payment.
Do you know what I'm saying about we're all weird after the lockdown? You get that, right? Okay.
What is the most ludicrous thing you've ever done in the name of love? That is a computer asking you that question.
Okay.
Have you done many ludicrous things?
Yeah. Pardon? What was that? Comedy roast battle. Fuck you. That was in the name of a paycheck. No, comedy roast battle is a good shout. It broke my poor mother's heart. No, I actually think comedy roast battle was fine. Loads of people watched the clip, and we did get paid.
Yeah.
I'd say actually, the most ludicrous thing I've done in the name of love was by a taxidermied squirrel.
Okay.
I'll explain, but it won't necessarily make it any clearer. I was dating a person who liked taxidermy.
That's good.
Or an initial red flag, whatever way you see it. And I desperately wanted to save the relationship that was sadly falling apart.
Yeah.
And I was in panic mode. You know, you're like, I gotta do a big romantic gesture. And I was in Angel and I walked by a place called Get Stuffed. if you know it, David Sedaris has written about it, I now know, but I didn't know that at the time, if I had known, I would have known it's the most fucking expensive taxidermy shop in the world. Bloody hell. Anyway, I go to this place and I see this sign on the door. It's obviously full of dead animals, which is in and of itself, I guess, a good sign that they're selling them, or else what the hell. But I was like, okay. So I stand at the door and I can see the man at the till and he can see me and he doesn't move. So I'm like, there's no one in the shop. There's no one outside the shop. The shop is open, but I can't get in the door.
He wasn't.
Obviously, my first question is like, is he part of the display? Yes.
Did this used to
be a pet shop? What's happening? This man and everyone's dead. I was like, okay. He just stares at me and then goes back to his book. And I was like, this dude, I have to be the first person who's tried to come in here today. Nobody else has been this desperate an Angel today. See the sign on the door? It says ring for appointments.
Oh.
So I ring the number. And in front of me, he picks up the telephone. And he goes, hello? And I say, hiya. I'm the lady outside. And he's like, hello. And I was like, I was wondering if I could come in for an appointment. And he was like, when were you thinking? I was like, now would be nice, if that's cool. And he was like, let me check. And then he goes through his book. I was like, what is this? There's no one in there. Anyway, he eventually opens the door. I come in and he was like, so what are you looking for? And I was like, so I'll be honest with you. I was... in a, like a period mania. I had not like really eaten enough food that day. I was obviously trying to save my relationship. So I said something to the tune of like what I thought was an endearing, like, well, my girlfriend really loves like taxidermy and I'm kind of hoping to impress her because we've had a bit of like I overshare is yeah. the comic way. And he blinks, basically. He's like, uh-huh. As if anybody else is in there buying taxidermy for a normal reason, right? I was like, you must get this all the freaking time. And then, so I was like, okay, so I'm obviously thinking like romantic gesture, what'll I get? Sorry, yeah. This has become a longer story than I anticipated.
No, I like it, I like
okay,
it.
So I'm like, thank you. I've never told her before and I'm panicking. But I was like, okay, so like I need to get like a romantic animal. So I'm obviously like, how much are the birds? He's like, I point to, I think an owl, which is what David Sedaris bought. And he was like, oh yeah, that's £1,500. And I'm like... and he wasn't joking. I was like, okay, that's crazy. Obviously that's insane, but also I'm in here, so I'm panicking. So I just start going through smaller animals and they are all still in like over £1,000, and we're still like, we're talking like, I was like, okay, so like what about like, eventually we get down and he's like, what's your budget? And I was like, I don't know what my budget for a dead, for like roadkill is. And eventually I was like, she likes squirrels? How much are the squirrels? And that is the smallest animal I can see in my eyeline. So if I can't afford a squirrel, I'm fucked. now I'm about to tell you how much I spent on a squirrel.
Yeah.
Okay. He's like, the squirrel is £420 plus VAT. Obviously, my instinct is like, do you have a rat or a vole? But I can't see any, so I have to be like, okay. I put it on my credit card. Don't get credit cards, let me say that. And I leave with a squirrel.
Yeah.
And indeed. And the judgmental silence is profound right now. It's heavy. Heavier even than when you said you'd bomb a robot. Yeah. They were like, ha, but this guy's crazy. So I leave with a squirrel. It, spoiler, does not save the relationship. And then we have to have a conversation that's like, do you want the squirrel or should I take the squirrel? I'm like, obviously take the squirrel, because otherwise I just have this taxidermy trophy of failed, of dead love, you understand, in a rodent. And now I guess I just sort of walk through parks thinking, that's £420.
Yeah.
That's £420. That's £420. Does that answer your question?
It does.
Great.
It's good. Sorry, it's not my question. That's why artificial intelligence, it knew. It knew there was something. I thought that was a good question, but I didn't know it was that good. So that's... I mean, yeah.
Oh, God.
I mean, I suppose the skill is stuffing them to look lifelike rather than just grabbing one and taking it in.
Oh yeah,
going,
no.
Do you get a how much do you get for the like just a dead squirrel? If you went to that guy and said, I've got a dead squirrel.
So I didn't know, to be fair, the reason I paid a lot for it was it is good taxidermy. Like, yeah, the squirrel looked like a squirrel. And then it turns out, obviously, I then like deep dove on taxidermies. And yeah, there's a taxidermy Twitter account called Bad Taxidermy. Don't know if anybody follows that. Yes. If you don't, you're welcome. And geez, like, you can tell why it's a skill, because a lot of people do it real badly.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to do, but...
I haven't personally tried. I didn't start by trying.
I mean, you know,
I just jumped in bias.
I'm still surprised that the demand is... however impressive it
Richard,
is.
There's no demand. There was no one in that shop. I got fucking taken for a ride. Do you understand? I kept that place open for a month, surely.
Yeah. You'd think. I mean, I'd just go and look at a squirrel in the tree.
Or take your breakup like a man.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? That's what I really should have done. It's just been like, I guess if I'm in this taxidermy shop, it really is over. That's the logical thing to do.
Do you think usually people turn up with a thing for him to do?
What, like bring in an animal?
Yeah. I would have thought most of the taxidermy business would be people going, I really love my dog.
Do you think?
I really love my husband. Dave, who used to run Goblins, which is the bar we used to go to in Balham, always said that when he died, he wanted to be taxidermied and put, like, in the bar in a rocking chair. But unfortunately, the bar closed before he died.
That's
my one regret.
That's a shame,
He may
guess.
Still be alive, I don't know. But but I would think that's mainly... It's mainly people going, I've got a cat. I love my cat. can you have it so that it's, I can have it? And I just, you know, isn't it? I mean, I've always found it weird. It's a thing that posh people do. If you go to old houses,
yeah.
I've never understood why. Like, we went to one in, I think I talked about this, we went to one in the Isle of Arran, Brodick House, and the whole of the corridor is just like 100, 150 stag's heads on the walls. And it's just horrible.
Sounds horrific.
Why the hell is anyone doing that?
Yeah, I don't know. I guess there's a level of wealth where you just think, I know I'm not allowed to kill people.
Yeah.
So what else can I kill for sport?
And then there's a level of wealth where you go, I'm allowed to kill people and have their heads stuffed and somewhere on...
And you can just buy art, just nice art. How nice. Yeah.
Well, that was good. Let's see. We'll try another one. See, I don't think you'll have an answer for this one. This one is not as good a question.
Okay.
If a butterfly flaps its wings in a forest and nobody is there to hear it, why did Richard Herring forget to bring his monocle when he recorded the 700th episode of Rahulastapa? Now, we haven't done the 700th episode yet.
Okay, I was like...
So, you know, that might be a spoiler. But it sounds like things are going pretty well for me in about 6 years' time.
Yeah. You own a monocle.
I've got a monocle.
That's pretty exciting.
And people are expecting to see it.
Yeah.
So
that's
cool. We're going to find out about that. I've got to get to 700 now to find that out.
You do. It sounds like you also have to make it part of your personality sufficient that the monocle would be deemed missing.
Yeah. I mean, I think there's something in I think it just, it's gone a bit crazy. If a butterfly flaps its wing in a forest and nobody is there to hear it.
Uh-huh.
I mean, that happens all the time.
Yeah. Well, we assume.
Yeah. Maybe they, do you think butterflies, if there's no one around... Do you think the butterflies don't bother flapping their wings?
Yeah, I do. I think they're like comics.
Yeah.
I think they're like everyone kept being like, why did you gig during lockdown? And I'm like, because I'm just supposed to entertain my friends on Zoom. It's a waste. Yeah, yeah, I think they are just chilling.
Okay, cool. Well, we got something out of it. we're going to go back to the other, we're going to go back to you in a sec. Oh. I mean, this one, I think this isn't a good question, and it's an awful thing to say, and I did not come up with it. And don't do this at home. What would happen if you put a cat in a washing machine and turned it on?
Hopefully jail time, I hope.
Yeah. Okay.
Wait, is the cat alive or dead?
I mean...
Why is that my question? No, just never mind.
I assumed alive, but, you know, now maybe if it was dead, it could bring it back to life if you spun it around enough. If a cheese wheel is so round, why doesn't it roll away? And the answer to that is because you put it on its side, the flat bit. Right, let's see if there's a better question. So, okay, let's go philosophical.
I'm trying to think of a worse question. No, that's fine.
These aren't my questions. What is the point of life if not to find something that brings you joy?
Is that an AI-generated question?
It is, yeah. Is that the point of? Is there a point of life, Catherine Bohart?
I don't know. I don't know that it's all. I think, I don't know. I think we'd all be less stressed by what the point of life is if the pressure of finding joy weren't so oppressive. Actually, I feel like. Sorry, is that too wanky an answer?
No, I agree. I
just feel like happiness as a continued state.
Yeah.
It actually isn't possible.
It's not possible, and it's not desirable.
No, because we'd just be a bunch of bimbos. Yeah. But like, if we were happy all the, do you know people who are happy all the time? They're either like pushing something way down, or they don't have a complex thought.
Yeah,
I think. I mean, maybe they're blissful, but I think happiness is only miraculous because it's sporadic and
it only means something because you were unhappy. So in 2020, you were unhappy.
Yeah.
And now you're relatively happy.
Yeah, but also like I think. Sorry to be boring, but
no, please be boring.
I think the sort of supposition is that if we are down or if we're in difficulty, we've failed because we're not happy and happy is the goal. Whereas actually like pain and difficulty and complexity are as compulsory as joy. I think joy is as inevitable as sorrow. Like, I think you can have a miserable time, and because people are people, something will make you laugh, something will bring you joy. Like, there have been times where you think, I'll never feel joy again. And then by some, like, it is as inevitable as sorrow, but I just think the pressure of it, and this is such a long answer to such an inane question.
The
but
question,
I,
remember, asked by
a computer. You know what? Men play chess against computers. I can answer the question. I don't know. I just think, like, it's a big expectation to put on ourselves that we're failing if we're not happy all the time. And actually, like, yeah, it's definitely one of the points of life. I think other points is just, like, getting through it.
I think looking for a point in life is too much. There is no point in life.
I don't know that there's no point.
There's no point.
I don't know that I agree there. I just think...
point in life implies that life has been put together for a reason, and there isn't any reason we're here.
I just don't think that we have to know what the point is. Like, it will unfold. And maybe. I don't think the point of everyone's life has to be the same. Like, this idea that there's a uniform answer. Like,
yeah.
I'm okay with saying some people's lives had more point and are more important than my life. I spent a considerable amount of time in a taxidermy shop. I'm not getting that back. Do you know what I mean?
Okay.
And that's okay. That's on me.
You have OCD. We talked about this last time. But you also went to the university at UCD. Was that because you have OCD that you went there?
I actually transferred out of UCD to TCD.
Okay.
No, it's funny. I think all of the unis in Ireland, most of them have an NUI. They all have like lots of acronyms. I do have OCD, but no, that's not what decided okay. UCD. It was ultimately too far away from my house. I went to TCD instead.
Okay, fair enough. It's just in the first line of your Wikipedia entry, and I enjoyed it.
Is it?
Yeah, it was sort of basically, it says you have OCD and you went to UCD. It just looks like
that's
looks
funny.
Like the person who
that's
put this
so
together.
Funny. My Wikipedia, by the way, is so fucking creepy. Like, I will occasionally be told about it by my mother or my girlfriend, and the information on there is just, like, wild. It leaves out so much, but is, like, very clear that I'm a failed actor and that I was in a very specific... Like, it names the hospital I went to, which I just think is a bit weird because I don't know who wrote it, and always has my age wrong.
Okay.
Lower or higher?
How far? Or just
it's random. Usually 2 days off, which is ultimately okay. Like, obviously I have OCD, so that's the most annoying fact to me. obviously, like, I didn't write it, so I can't be too pernickety about it. But equally, it turns out bother me.
You're allowed to go in. I mean,
there's an honour code, isn't there? If you have a Wikipedia page, you're not allowed to have written it.
There is. It's one I break all the time.
Is it?
Yeah. There's something wrong.
He has a lovely penis. I can't correct this again.
I can say he has a lovely penis, and I can quote my book, Can I Have My Ball Back, in which I say I have a lovely penis. that's enough. And now I've said it in this podcast, so we get a link
another
to this podcast.
Another reference, yes.
Citation not needed any longer. I don't see the issue with the person who is I'd see the issue if you're going, like, he has a lovely penis and is the best comedian ever. But if it's like he was born in this place, or, like, I update the guest list of who's on the podcast in my interview thing, because that is useful information for me when I go back to check when people were on before.
I don't know. This is such a meta thing, and, like, this is such a niche problem. this is not a relatable. But I don't know. It something feels weird about, like, being participatory in the viewership of yourself.
Yeah.
I don't know. In the same way that I, like, make a podcast, but I don't like to think that anybody... Helen's always like, we have this many listeners. And I'm like, no one listens. Because otherwise I don't know if I could do it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, I can't imagine anyone really listens to any of this. That's the only way I can get...
Yeah.
I mean, maybe this one, but some of the things I do, I kind of just feel sorry for the people who listen to it.
And that is a healthy attitude.
I'm very sorry.
Thank you for coming to us.
This one's okay. But, like...
Thanks, Richard. Never had the host review me as I go.
This podcast is okay. But, you know, me talking to Ventriloquist Dummies, you'd be crazy to watch that. You're right. It is the best one. You're right. Shush.
Maggie
it's the best
it.
One. Shut up, you Peter. It's the best one you do. Shush, David. You're so good at ventriloquism. Shush! It's not crazy. These people. They've got very crazy. Shall I ask you some of my emergency questions? Let's see how that goes.
Okay.
The proper ones.
All right.
The real thing. Have you ever been stuck in a lift? Now we're back.
Wow.
Now we're back. That's human.
It's personalised. It's research. It says you, it says me. No.
No. Okay. I'm trying to think if I don't think I asked you many emergency questions last time, so I'm probably safe. I'll ask you that one. If you had to have sex with an animal, if you had to.
No.
Okay. if you could go into a chrysalis and come out as anything, you go in as you, but you can come out as anything. It can still be you, or it can be something completely different. You're going to change, you're going to melt down, you change, and you come out as something else. What would you like to emerge from the chrysalis as? That's written by me. I made that up.
That, nice.
Thanks.
Probably me with fewer anxieties.
Okay.
Is that a bad answer?
Like, no, that's a very good answer.
Better the devil you know. I think, like, me, but without any of the, like, gendered shit that sort of makes me hate my body and any of the sort of constant dread that I'm not doing enough.
Okay.
Maybe.
That's, I mean, it's...
What a... I was like, I'm going to go in and be peppy this time. It's going to be good. Watch out, world. I was a little dour last time, but they are going to get a new and positive gathering.
I think that's, you know, that's, this question opens up a world, and I think it is... That's interesting. I mean, you know, but do you not... I sort of feel like, as a comedian, all the things that are the worst things about you, or the things that you worry about, or the things that are, you know, crazy...
Mm.
Are the things that make us comedians, maybe? Do you think if you weren't exactly you, would you be as funny as you are?
I think yes and no. I think, like, a lot of the things that I was cruel to myself, or that, like, made other people cruel to me, have been become the things that I talk about on stage and differentiate me. So, like,
yeah,
being a woman, being queer, being having mental, like, a past of mental illness were things that were, like, prohibitive at the time and now have given me permission to have things to talk about that people find, yeah, interesting and relatable, and that is good. But I don't know. I think I would live more freely if I hated my body less and if the world hated women's bodies less. And maybe I would be a braver performer if, yeah, that were true.
Okay.
So, or if I wasn't, like, scared of aging or... So I think it's easy to be like, isn't the kind of the stuff we put on, the shit we put on ourselves, just actually what makes us us? But I think some of it is prohibitive.
Yeah, no, that's fair enough. And, you know, it's, in a way, maybe it'd be nicer to be a sorted-out human being than a good comedian. Who knows? I can't imagine anyone.
Well, I'm not going to go that far.
I can't imagine anyone would make that choice. But no, it's interesting. I mean, do you feel like, you know, like, now people are so open about mental illness, it's almost like every time you look at Chortle, there's somebody else saying that they've got OCD or ADHD or something. Is that a positive thing, or does that make you look and go, oh no, there's somebody else doing that, or do you think it's a good thing that we're all talking about it?
I think it's a good thing. Yeah. I think it's a good thing. I don't think it's like, I've never been like, that's my one. But also, I do think it's a good thing because I think it sort of prohibits this narrative that mental illness is a singular thing. Like, OCD, even as an example, there are like 7 clinically defined types of OCD.
Yeah.
It's a shame it's an uneven number, and that's fine. But it's like, but they're not the same, and they don't like, hoarding is a form of OCD. Extreme cleanliness and tidiness and order are forms of OCD. They're very different experiences.
Yeah.
So I think, like, it's probable that those differences are distinct. But also, like, I think the point is that it is ubiquitous, right? That it's not anomalous and that it's not, like, rare. And that is why we, A, should engage with it, and B, need services to help with it, and C, why it's so relatable. I think,
yeah,
I'm not surprised that that's become the situation, because people didn't come to my show and go, oh, well, I've never felt, I've never had a bad day in my life. People would queue up outside my show, which I was not ready for as a very young comic, being like, the following ways are which my mental health issues affect me. And I was like, I am not qualified for this conversation. But yeah, it's not that surprising. I think it's good.
And do you think that, do you think it is, it's not, I mean, because it feels like it's comedians that it's happening to, but you've, but the truth is, you think it's a more general issue, like, or do you think are comedians more likely to become comedians as a result?
I don't know. It's like when people say, is comedy sexist? And you're like, well, comedy exists in the world and the world is sexist, so yes. And yeah. I think, like, are comedians more likely to have mental health issues? I don't know. I think we all do. And also, possibly, maybe they are, but only insofar as I think one, laughter is a coping mechanism. Comedy is a coping mechanism, so that makes sense. There's a correlation. And two, I think, and it's weird, this people don't, it's kind of an odd answer, but I think actually comedy is quite a good job day to day if you are a person who suffers with mental illness that is like up and down.
Yeah.
Because you're self-employed, because you can go to work when you can and not when you, and it doesn't mean that like you've lost your job. And it's a wonderful escape from like darkness, I think.
Yeah.
So I think you can, and also you can kind of manage to do, not always, I can't always, sometimes I can't go to work because of my brain, but a lot of the time I can go, well, it's only 20 minutes.
Yes.
You know what I mean? It's not like I don't have to go in and pretend that I care what Sheila did for the weekend and then also function in a meeting and then also stay up all day. And then I can kind of rationalize that it's only that time.
Yeah. And do you think it's a welcoming environment? I mean, I know that there's certain elements of the comedy world that aren't welcoming environments for women. But do you think it's becoming better in that? But do you think also, I mean, I feel like amongst most comedians, it's kind of, you know, it's kind of okay. I mean, I think most comedians aren't very judgmental or, you know, like just accepting.
About mental health or about women?
Yeah, mental health and, well, and but everything really. Just, it feels, it's a kind of, do you feel it's a, because there's an element where I think being a comedian is quite a welcoming thing where comedians recognise each other and like each other and kind of fall quite easily into talking with each other.
Yeah.
But then I'm not a female comedian and I understand that there's, female comedians have a different experience of some clubs maybe and some comedians.
Yeah, I mean, I think it depends. It's like with everything. It's like when you're on with dickheads, you're like, cool, this is going to be shit. And if you're on with nice people, it's pretty nice. So I think like generally, yes. Like I think on the one hand, like I think it must be very difficult to be an ethnic minority in comedy. I still think that there isn't a great ubiquity of that. And I think that often you're walking into predominantly white spaces and that must be like frustrating.
Sure.
And also you're boxed in very much, I think, a lot of the time. I think also you're, as that or as a queer person or as a woman, you're often expected to be the only one on the bill. So sometimes you feel a bit like you have to represent that entire group, which is a bit arduous. But in terms of like one-to-one, most comics are nice.
Yeah.
Mostly because we're often the first person, the other person you've seen that day.
Yes.
So like, I'm usually just thrilled to see anyone. I'll talk to anyone because I'm like, oh my God, is it nice to be out of the house? And so there's that. But
yeah. And in terms of, you know, anything that any sort of mental differences, I suppose, you know, it's not like it's a job where that's okay.
Oh, yeah,
you
know people, I mean? Definitely understand if you're like,
yeah,
my brain's melted and I'm having a terrible day. People will just be like, usually, it is one of those ones where comics, you know, where you're like, I'm having a shit day, you know, it's like to your mom, and she's like, well, my day is infinitely worse. That is, to be fair, comedians. That's our... We're like, me too, and... You're like, oh, okay, great. But that's kind of nice, because then someone else will tell a story.
Yeah. I mean, you know, there's even comedians who aren't crazy can be a bit crazy.
I've never met one.
Okay.
Who isn't crazy.
Certainly from the olden days, you know, it's sort of... It's a job where it's acceptable to be socially unacceptable, I suppose, is, you know, or like if you went into a proper job.
Yeah, also I think we're like curious about ourselves. Yeah. Not to be totally self-indulgent, but I think the job, especially after a while when you've run out of all your obvious stories about your mom or like your sexuality or whatever, like whatever's like first and foremost for you, well, you kind of do have to go like, I have to write another hour. So what else is going on in here? And then, yeah, you do open some doors. So maybe there's partly that. We also, let's be honest, spend too much time alone, don't have real jobs, and that's too much time alone and too much time to think. And so maybe it's chicken and an egg. I don't know.
It could be. So what is there anything else coming up apart from the eight days in Edinburgh, working on a new show for touring?
I'm doing a bunch of work in progresses. They're all on my website, katherinebohart.com. I'm trying to work up this new show. You can still listen to Shared Baggage. You can listen to Trusty Hogs if you like.
Naked Beach.
Naked Beach, my new series. I'll be wearing clothes the whole time. But yeah, and surprisingly, it will just be naked animals, actually, not naked people.
Naked dead animals that have been taxidermed. There's a taxidermist involved.
Yeah.
You can get the whale that you saw. The seal was very much able to be taxidermied and could have become a sort of chair.
Yeah. I like that. It's all dick stuff, obviously.
Yeah, and dicks. Dicks off in a museum.
Yeah.
Any dicks taken off.
Have we had a nice time?
Yeah, I think so. I'm not sure. I mean, I don't feel like I'm here, so it's fine. I'm not aware there's anyone else here.
But yeah, no, that's for now, that's what's going on with me. And I will have a radio show in the end of the year. But what good is plugging something you haven't even written yet? she says plugging her work in progress shows. Please come, I'd love that.
But that's, you know, I'm sort of getting back into wanting to do stand-up again, and it is that weird interim period where you've got like a basic idea, or you might have a few ideas, and you've got to go and test it out. It's a weird part to be in. I think the more you do it, the easier it becomes. But
I love it because it's not something yet, so you can discover it.
Yeah.
But I do find it. I do find myself feeling quite insincere when people are like, "What's your show about?" And you're like, I suspect by August I will be feeling concerned about the following things, as opposed to knowing what the show is about. But it's fun. Yeah. Please come to the Work in Progresses. They are, not just mine, anybody's, because I think that they are just a great way to see comics throwing shit at the wall and also revealing themselves because they haven't decided what parts they want to let you in on and what parts they should have kept for themselves. And so it is very exposing.
It is exposing. And you'll see some bits that no one will ever see again.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. And here's some secrets we shouldn't have told you.
We should not have said that.
Like the taxidermy story.
that was gold. That's got to be that. Whatever you're doing, that's got
to
be.
I think it has to be.
The centerpiece. That's. I mean, it's basically a show already.
Oh, okay. Well, then I'm glad I came out. Great.
Look, really love to see you. I'm glad that things are a bit happier than they were.
Thanks. Me too.
In 2020 for us both.
They couldn't have been worse.
They couldn't have been much worse. It wouldn't be bad if they had. Ladies and gentlemen, the amazing Catherine Bowen.
Thank you
very much. You have been listening to Rahulastapa with me, Richard Herring, and my guest, Catherine Bohart. The music is by Scant Regard. You know that by now. Why do I have to keep telling you what's wrong with you? Why don't you listen? I'm indebted to my producer, Ben Walker. Thank you to Chris Evans, not that one, and Kathleen McKeegan, and everyone at the Leicester Square Theatre, except one person. I'm not going to say who it is, but they're a dick. This is a Sky Potato Fuzz and GoFasterStripe.com production. Not really. Everyone at Leicester Square Theatre knows it was just a joke. Goodbye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Thanks for listening. Go to GoFasterStripe.com for all your Richard Herring download and book needs. Go to richherring.com/gigs to find out if Can I Have My Ball Back is coming near to you. And please listen to as many podcasts on this feed as you possibly can, and make your family and friends and children and strangers, make them listen too. Do get consent from everyone before you make them listen, though. All right, thanks for listening. Go and listen to another one. Bye-bye.